There are some things in the Word of God that are very, very clear. But when you and I read them, our response is, God couldn't possibly mean that. Because nobody could live up to that. That's impossible. Well, there's not anything in this book that God did not intend for us to understand. And so sometimes our response is, well, this must have some mysterious meaning or some hidden meaning because God knows there's no way for me to live up to that. And so what we'd like to do is either just sort of pass over those scriptures and find something that's a little bit more appealing to us, and we move on. Well, the text that we want to discuss today is one of those that oftentimes we come to and we say, no way. There is no way God could really and truly expect me to abide by that in the circumstances I'm in, the way I'm hurting, the loss I've suffered, or the failure I'm experiencing. Well, the question is, does he really mean what he says? Or is there some hidden, mysterious meaning? No mysteries, nothing hidden. God intends for us to understand it all and to live by it. So I want you to turn, if you will, to one of those passages that fall into the category, oh no, God really couldn't mean that. And it is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There are three verses. It's really just one sentence. But listen to what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. They're all very, very short. Verse 16, two words. Rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, and this is the one that we say, oh no. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So what he's saying in that passage is this. Rejoice always in constant prayer, giving thanks for everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now the question is, did he really mean what he said when he said, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for your life and mine? Well, I want us to look at that question, and then I want to give you an answer that I believe will be extremely helpful to you throughout the rest of your life if you will listen carefully and be wise enough to take some notes and then be wise enough to apply it to your life. Well, it's very evident in this passage that God intends for every believer to give thanks to Him. In fact, if you will turn with me for a few moments to a few scriptures here, let's look, if you will, in Psalm 92. In fact, in Psalm 92, he tells us exactly what he thinks about giving thanks, for he says in Psalm 92, the first two verses, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to thy name, O Most High. Now look, to declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness by night. He says, it's good to get up in the morning and to thank God for his loving kindness which you want to accompany you all day long. And then he says, it's good when you go to bed tonight at night to thank God for his faithfulness in keeping you all day long. So we're to begin the day with thanksgiving. We're to live all day long thanking him, the Bible says. And then we are also to conclude our day with giving thanks to God for his faithfulness to us. So that thanksgiving, now listen, thanksgiving was never intended to be simply a season. Thanksgiving was intended to be a way of life for the children of God. That is, it's to be a way of life for us. He said, you get up in the morning, thanking God for his loving kindness all day. Go to bed at night, thanking God for his faithfulness in keeping us all day. And during the day, thanking him for everything that goes on. Thanksgiving is to be a way of life for every believer. And if you'll recall in the 147th Psalm, look there for a moment. He again says something about this matter of thanksgiving. He says, if you'll notice here, in the first verse, praise the Lord. It is good to sing praises to our God. And verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. That is, whatever we are doing, God intends for us to have a lifestyle that is a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Now, when he gave to the nation of Israel their laws and their regulations and their certain times of feast and all the ritual they were to go through, the Bible says he gave them a time for thanksgiving. And the scripture says in Nehemiah that he appointed ministers of music, that is for the hymns of thanksgiving. so that all through the Scriptures you find God reminding us of being thankful, and especially in the book of Deuteronomy, when he gives them the promise of a land flowing with milk and honey and all the things that he's going to do for them. And then he continually reminds them, lest you forget to be thankful. Lest you forget to be thankful. Lest you forget to be thankful, you can expect the following curses to fall upon you. So that God's intention is that you and I be a grateful people, and that the expression of our life is an expression of gratitude. That we're living in thanksgiving to God for many things. That's also interesting in the Scriptures that he usually accompanies thanksgiving with a number of things. As we said, for example, look in Psalm 100. In the 100th Psalm, which is the Psalm about worship, look how he accompanies our worship with thanksgiving. He says in verse 1, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Then listen. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. That's the spirit in which you and I should come to church every Sunday. Enter, he says, his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Read a few moments ago that we're to sing with thanksgiving. In the 4th chapter of Philippians, you know that passage. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But then there's one area that I think we oftentimes forget. And it is found in Philippians chapter 1, if you'll turn there for a moment. It's not a command. It is an expression of the Apostle Paul. And what you'll find is you'll find this expression with him in most all of his epistles, not all of them. But it's something that you and I could take heed to. So often he will say, as he says in verse 3 of Philippians 1, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. That is, when you and I think about our friends, think about our loved ones, we should do so with thanksgiving. You say, well, but you don't know my daddy. I know this. There is something to be thankful for. You don't know my family. Doesn't make any difference. I know that you should certainly be thankful that God used them to bring you into this world and give you life. And you think about your friends. Oftentimes, how faithful and loyal they are, devoted to you. Do you ever take time to just thank God for them? So, as you go through the Scriptures, what you'll find is that thanksgiving is to be a way of life. How much happier and joyful our life would be if we got up in the morning thanking God for his loving kindness all day, and we could practice what this verse says, giving thanks to him in everything, going to bed at night and giving God thanks for his faithfulness, for keeping us and providing for us all day long. I know what you're saying, but some nights when I go to bed, I don't have anything to be grateful for. Yes, you do. You have a bed. That's one thing. And secondly, that you have the privilege of sleeping and being able to rest, get up the next morning and start a whole new day. We all have many things to be grateful for that we forget. And I wonder, when is the last time you just said to your wife, honey, I want to thank you that God gave you to me to be my wife. And you're the grandest gal in the whole world. And I just want you to know that I love you and I'm grateful to God for you. Now, some of you women would probably faint. I understand that. But I wonder how many of you ladies have stopped to say to your husband, I just want to thank you for providing for me, loving me, cherishing me, taking care of me, protecting me, being the kind of godly man that I wanted and needed, and thank God for giving us the wonderful children and the kind of dad you are. You say, well, but he's not all of that. Maybe if you would thank God and tell him, it might motivate him. And I wonder how many of you have said to your parents lately, Dad, I just want to thank you for being my dad. Mom, I just want to thank you for being the grandest mom in the world. Or whatever you have to be thankful for. And I wonder how many parents take the time to say, son, I just want you to know that Dad loves you. I love you with all of my heart. And I'm grateful that God gave you to me to be my son. And when's the last time you put your arm around your daughter and you said to her, sweetheart, old dad loves you to death, and I'm so grateful to God for you. Let me ask you a question. When somebody comes up to you and says, I just thank God for you, do you just feel all morbid and remorse on the inside? Or does something just begin to light up on the inside of you? And I wonder how many of you look around at times. Maybe how many of you have said to your boss, I just want you to know how grateful I am to work for you, and I thank God for you for being my boss. He too may faint if you were to tell him that, for the simple reason that probably nobody's told him that all year long. Isn't it amazing how we take each other for granted? We just take it for granted. But I want you to remember this. So often, we have to lose something very precious to us before we begin to be thankful. Well, he says in the scriptures that you and I are to be grateful and to express gratitude to him in the morning, in the evening, during the day. And he didn't say just thank him for some things, but he said thank him for all things. Now, there's a part of this scripture, personally, I don't like. You know, if I'd have been writing this, which I didn't, of course, I'm sure I wouldn't have put this verse in the Bible. I would have said, in most things, give thanks to God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Or I would have said, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, with the following exceptions, and I'd probably had 2 pages of exceptions. But you see, he didn't say that. He said, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, it is God's will that you and I express gratitude, no question about that. But the command to give thanks to God is very, very difficult when it reaches beyond certain limits. For example, a newborn babe at your house, you can give thanks to God. You got that raise you were expecting, you can give thanks to God. You got a good news from the doctor, everything is all right, you can give thanks to God. Your father didn't bless you out when you wrecked the car, you can give thanks to God. You got on the dean's list, after having almost failed the semester before, you can thank God for that. And finally, he asks you to marry him, and you're just full of thanksgiving. Well, all of us can identify with those things. But what about when you lose your job? Can you thank him for that? And what about when you have to live in constant pain? Can you thank God in that pain? And when you find cocaine in your daughter's room, and when the doctor says, at the most you have 6 months to live, and when your loan didn't go through on that dream house you were looking for, am I still to thank God in these kind of things? Now, God knows I don't feel thankful. And so we ask ourselves the question, am I just sort of to fudge and just go ahead and say it even though I don't believe it and think it and feel it? Is this one of those scriptures that must have some mysterious underlying meaning, and God said it, but he didn't really mean that. He meant something else. No. He meant exactly what he said. In everything, give thanks. This is the will and purpose and plan of God for every single believer. Now, you're saying, well, do you mean to tell me that when I'm sinning and enjoying my sin, that I'm to thank God in that? Let's put it this way. You're never to thank God for your disobedience, but you can thank God for his discipline of you because of your disobedience. You can thank God for loving you in spite of it, being willing to forgive you no matter what you've done. But just to thank God for the pleasure of your disobedience, you can't. No, the limitation is sin. But even in the sin, you and I can thank God for what we learn in the process. That is never a justification for sinning against God, hoping you'll learn something. You'll learn something, all right, not what you expect, if that were your purpose for sinning against God. But now, what did he mean? Did he really mean what he said? You mean to tell me, God, that when I lose my job, I am to thank you when I don't have any earthly idea how I'm going to take care of my family? Do you mean to tell me I am to sit by the bedside and watch someone whom I love dearly die day by day, and I'm to sit there and give thanks to God? You mean to tell me when I find out that my children are on drugs, I'm to give thanks to God? None of that is reasonable and rational. To human understanding and human feelings, I agree, that's true. And there have been many times in my life, and I didn't feel like thanking God, but notice what he said. He didn't say, in everything, give thanks to God when you feel up to it, when you feel like it. It has nothing to do with feelings. It has to do with a choice we make. It has to do not with feelings, but an act of the will. Now, here's the problem. I would read that verse and read that verse, and I preached sermons on it before. But a few months ago when my shoulder was hurt and I really felt pain like I'd never felt before, and I'd read that verse and I'd think, no, wait a minute. I've got to have a reason. I know that's what you said, but it's not even reasonable for me to thank you for this while I am hurting so badly. Now, God, what is this? I am to thank you. Now, I can get on my knees and thank God and not mean it. But, Lord, you meant what you said. How am I to thank God for what hurts me so desperately? I'd like to answer that question for you. And I want to make one statement of why God meant what he said when he said we're to thank him in everything. That's the will of God. He says it again in Ephesians chapter 5. Look there for a moment, if you will. Almost the same thing, a similar thing. Paul, he'd been talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit and singing psalms and praising the Lord. And then he says in verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God, even the Father. So it's not in that just one time, in case you think, well, that just slipped in by one time. I want to tell you, my friend, there's nothing in this Bible that slipped in. It is all the divine, protected revelation of Almighty God to you and to me for our benefit. Now, why? Here's the big question. Why would God say, no matter what, no exceptions, why would God say, in everything, it is my responsibility to give thanks to him? I want to give you a reason, and then I want to give you 10 reasons why I believe that reason is valid. So you get a pencil and piece of paper out, if you will. Now, my friend, there's some notes you can ignore and probably get by with it. If you're wise at all, I'll give you a moment or two to get you a pen and a piece of paper and jot these down. If this is a tape you're listening to, you'd be wise to listen to it again and again and again until you get it down. Here is the reason that God said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Here's the reason. Because of the powerful impact of that thanksgiving on every single area of your Christian life. The reason he said it is because of the powerful impact it makes on every area of your Christian life. When you begin to thank God in everything, it influences, it makes a tremendous impact on every area of your life. Now, let me explain how that happens, and I want to give you 10 reasons. So what we're asking is the question, and that is, why does thanking God for everything or in everything, why does thanking God in everything, why is it the will of God? And how is it that it makes an impact in every area of our life? All right, number one. Number one, it keeps us continually aware of the presence of God and that we're not alone. When you and I are going through some difficulties and hardships, the one thing I need to know is that I am in the presence of God suffering through this, and I'm not alone. When you and I begin to thank him, now notice, let me say it again, not when you start feeling like thanking him, not when you feel gratitude in your heart, but when you begin to choose to thank him, I choose to express thanksgiving to God in the midst of this, Though I don't feel it, I'm choosing to do so. What happens is I begin to be more aware of the presence of God with me in it because I begin to talk to Him about it. The second reason, and that is, it motivates us to look for His purpose in our circumstances. And you see, if I know the purpose of why I'm going through certain hurts and trials and heartaches, that takes the edge off. And what happens is when you and I begin to thank God, Lord, I just want to thank You even though I'm hurting deeply. I want to thank You even though I don't understand why these things are going on. I want to thank You that You must have a purpose for it. I want to thank You, God, that in Your good timing, You're going to show me why You're allowing me to go through this. What happens is when you begin to thank Him, you begin to be motivated to look for the purpose. Why did God let me lose my job? Why did we miss this house? And why do I have to sit by and watch her suffer like this? And why have I suffered this awesome disappointment in my life when, God, You knew all my plans were wrapped up around that? As we begin to thank Him, God will show us in His own perfect timing what His purpose and what His design is. Number three, that is, when you and I begin to thank Him, it helps us bring our will into submission to His will. For some things you and I suffer are certainly not our will. They're not our choices. We'd like to run just as far as we could. We'd like an immediate, instantaneous escape. But God won't let us escape. When you and I begin to thank Him in that situation, what happens is gradually our will, which may at first be the kind of will that is rebellious, resentful, and maybe even anger. God, I don't like what's going on. As you and I begin to thank Him, it is amazing how we are able to gradually submit our will to His will, though we don't understand why. That's part of the profit of thanking Him. You see, it is an all-wise God who said, in everything give thanks. Not when it's convenient, not when I understand it, but give thanks. And in the giving of thanks, my will is going to begin to mesh with His will, and I'm going to begin to be submissive to Him. And before long, what I objected to, what I despised, what was the object of my anger is no longer, even though I don't understand it, somehow there is a submission. And my whole attitude about my circumstance begins to change. Now, my circumstance may not change, but my attitude about it begins to change. There's a fourth reason. And that is, when you and I thank God in everything, it reminds us of our continuing dependence upon Him in every situation. You see, we are dependent upon God all the time. Sometimes we feel rather adequate and we can handle it without God. We don't say that, that's what we feel. But my friend, when you feel trapped and shut in and closed in and helpless and hopeless, and what you're facing is so totally beyond anything that you can humanly do about it, you begin to thank Him. Lord, I just want to thank You in this situation. I want to thank You, God, that I am so helpless and so totally hopeless in this, that You are my only sense of hope. You and You alone can rescue me. You know what happens? When you begin to thank Him, He reminds you of how dependent you are upon Him. And what happens? God begins to do something about our spirit, about the circumstances that we're in. And then, number five, when you and I are able to thank Him in every situation, no matter what, it helps us to develop a stronger trust in God. When you begin to thank Him, it is amazing what happens to your trust level. When you begin to thank Him, what you're saying is, God, I don't understand it. This is not the way I would have done it. This didn't fit into my plans. This is not how I would have cared about all of this. But God, I'm going to trust You. I thank You that You're trustworthy. I thank You that You're all wise. I thank You that You don't make any mistakes. I thank You that You know what's going on. I thank You that You have the power to change this if You chose to change it. And what happens is, As you and I begin to be thankful to Him, or as we begin to thank Him and express that gratitude, something happens to our trust level. Why? Because, as we said a few moments ago, our dependence upon Him begins to become a reality. And we begin to look for His purposes. What's God up to in this? And we know that we're not alone in this. And we're sensing His presence. So God is working all of these things together. We learn to trust. Listen, we learn to trust most when we are walking in the dark. When I'm walking in the light and I understand and I see what's going on, that doesn't take any faith. It's when God says, I'm cutting the lights out, and you have a journey, and it's in the valley, and the only thing you can do is take one step at a time and hold me by the hand, let me hold you by the hand, and let me guide you every step of the way. When I don't understand, I thank Him, I can praise Him, that I do know someone who does, and my trust level begins to build. So God knows that in the process of thanking Him in those difficult times, He is what? He is building a stronger trust level in His children. Then number six, thanking Him in everything is essential to being able to rejoice. And you'll notice we said in the very first part of this sentence, in verse 16, He says, rejoice always. Well, now rejoicing doesn't mean just to have this flighty, frothy, happy-go-lucky kind of attitude, but rejoicing is not only a happiness that we express, but it is an inner sense of genuine, solid, established contentment. Something inside of me is strong enough that I am able to thank the Lord, and I am able to rest with perfect assurance. God has it under control. What is it that makes it possible for me to rejoice, especially when it's painful, hurtful, and things I want to change so desperately? As I begin to thank Him, something happens to my spirit. And so it is in the process of choosing to thank God that before long the rejoicing is a part of it. And friend, it's hard to rejoice over something you're not thankful for. But when you begin to be grateful, when you begin to express gratitude, what happens is our view of things change. Trust level increases. Dependence upon God. God is involved in this. I'm not in this by myself. All of these things begin to mesh together. And then, he says, number seven, when you and I are able to thank Him for everything, it gives impact to our Christian witness. Your friends watch you go through hardship and difficulty and trial, and they shake their head and they say, you know, I don't know how you keep your reasoning. I don't know how you keep yourself together. If I were going through what you were going through, I'd be pulling my hair out. I'd probably be on drugs. I'd be on alcohol. And you see, that's what the world does. When the world goes through things that bring them to a state of helplessness, they got to pop a pill, have a drink, get on drugs, have an affair, go somewhere, do something, anything to make them be able to forget it, because what they're trying to do is find an escape. Now listen to that, because I'm coming back to the whole idea of escape in just a few moments. And so your Christian friend, your unbelieving friend looks at you and says, how can you do it? How can you be thankful? Instead of complaining like I would, how can you be thankful going through this? And then you can say, because Christ, who is my Savior and my Lord and my life, enables me moment by moment, day by day, because you see, He's promised to be my sufficiency to meet every single need that I have. And that's what He's doing. And my friend, your unbelieving friend is going to back off, and now here's what's going to happen. When the bottom drops out of their life, do you know who they're going to look for? You. Because you have demonstrated to them something they don't understand. It isn't something you said, it's something that they saw that absolutely cannot be denied. You have something the world does not have. And when they have exhausted all of their attempts, it leaves them empty. And one of the major problems among people today is a sense of emptiness. There's just nothing there. I mean, they've tried it all, and there's nothing there. And here you are, going through hardship. You've lost it all. Things have gone in every direction but what you chose. And somehow you're still being able to smile. It's not faky. It isn't smile today and argue with someone tomorrow. But there's an overwhelming sense of awesomeness about you that they cannot understand, my friend, that will make an impact upon your unbelieving friends. And so when God said, in everything give thanks, this is will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, he understood that. The next reason, number 8, we are to give thanks to him in everything because it focuses our attention upon God rather than upon our circumstances. Let's say that you're going through a difficult time and you begin to thank him. God, I just want to thank you. Now what happens? God, I just want to thank you for being my God. I want to thank you for being omnipotent. You have all power to change this. I want to thank you for being omnipresent. This is going on in your presence. You know what's going on. I want to thank you for being omniscient. You know every single detail of how I'm hurting. I want to thank you that you're a loving, good, gracious God who loves me unconditionally, who understands me, Father, when I falter and fail, who understands me when I get angry at times over my circumstances, who understands me, Lord, when I just want to run away, who understands me when I don't feel like reading the Bible, I don't feel like praying. God, I just want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you for who you are with me in this. You know what's going to happen when you start doing that? Here's what happens. God in your life gets bigger and larger and grander and grander and grander and more important, and your heartaches and your problems get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller because, my friend, compared to God, everything is a grain of sand. Everything is a grain of sand compared to God. And this is why Paul said in 2 Corinthians, look at this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and only a man who'd been through hardship, heartache, and a man who understands what it means to give thanks and everything could make a statement like this. He'd been talking about all the sufferings they'd been through, and then he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, a precious passage of Scripture you should mark. Listen, therefore, we do not lose heart. We don't give up. But though our outer man, this old physical body of ours, is decaying, yet our inner man, the real you, is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction. Momentary light? Do you know how long I've been sick? Do you know how long I've hurt? Do you know how long I've been going through this valley? Do you know how dark this is? Do you know how painful and hopeless and helpless this is? Light affliction? For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. That is, he says, what you and I suffer produces for something that weighs like gold against, listen, weighs like gold against feathers. There's no comparison. Listen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Friend, mark those passages. Listen, when you and I begin to thank God amidst our hardship and our heartache, and you see, you say, but wait a minute, now he said light affliction. Momentary. This has been going on for years. You know why Paul could say that? Now remember, here's a man who suffered like no other person ever suffered for Christ. Here's what he meant when he said light affliction. He didn't mean that he stumped his toe. He meant that against the background of God's eternal glory and provision and blessing for the children of God, any little thing you and I suffer today against the background of what God has for us is a momentary light affliction. 40 years of suffering today against an eternity of blessing from God, he says, it's a momentary thing. And hurt that almost destroys us, he says, against the background of the grace and unconditional love of a wonderful Father, he says, it's a light affliction. You see, when you and I begin to thank God in the midst of our hardship, our focus changes. And our focus changes to God. And we begin to see things from his perspective. Then all of these previous things that we just mentioned begin to come into play. My dependence upon him, his presence with me, his purpose in all of this. God is doing something. He's building my faith. I'm beginning to understand what God is up to in my life. When the focus moves upon him, then afflictions become momentary and become light. Thanksgiving helps me transfer my focus from my circumstances to God. And once I begin to focus on Him, it is amazing what happens to my pain, my suffering, my hurt, my trials, my persecutions, and all the things that I have to face. Then listen, if you will. He says also, giving thanks in all things, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And here's something I discovered, and I had to hurt desperately and get exhausted before I understood this. And that is that giving thanks in all things, listen, giving thanks in all things energizes us when we are wearied and exhausted by our circumstances. For example, here's a person, here's a wife or a mother or father who sits by the bedside day after day and week after week over a child or a loved one who could pass away any moment. The emotional strain of that is indescribable. Yesterday I was listening to the radio and listening to one of the talk programs, and this lady had called in and she began to weep on the phone as she described her husband. That he did not care for her, love her, cherish her. He was gone for days at a time and never showed up. And for months and months and months this had been going on, and she felt trapped in all of this, and her heart was broken, and she was just weeping and just pouring out her heart over the phone to people all across this nation. I could not help but think, oh God, she must be weary. She must feel emotionally exhausted. Every time her husband walks through the door, she doesn't know what he's bringing in with him. She doesn't know who he's been out with. She doesn't know what he may have contracted. She doesn't know what his plans are. She doesn't know which day he's going to walk in and say, I no longer want to be married to you. I found someone else. And there she is. My friend, far worse than physical exhaustion is emotional exhaustion, hurt, emotional pain deep down inside. You say, well, how can you thank God when you hurt like that? Here's what happens. If you will choose to thank Him in your hurts, the only way for me to explain this is this, that Jesus Christ, who lives inside of a believer, begins to, listen, thanksgiving, thanking God releases something within us. It releases pure energy. It releases energy within us. That's why he says, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. While this outer man may show on its countenance and on expressions in the physical body may become weary and tired, what happens? The inner man begins to be renewed. And as the inner man is renewed, something happens to us on the outside. And praising God and thanking Him when I don't feel it, when I don't understand it, when I don't like it, when I want to run, beginning to thank God releases a divine supernatural energy within us that makes it possible for us to go through the darkness of that valley and come out on the other side triumphantly, victoriously, because God never fails one of His children. Not a one of us. Not a single one of us. There's a divine energy that thanksgiving releases in the life of the believer. My friend, God doesn't make any mistakes. When He said, in everything give thanks, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why? Because of the impact it makes upon our whole Christian experience. And what I'm simply sharing are all the reasons that it makes that impact. It affects every single area of a person's life. You mean simply thanking God? Simply thanking God transforms a person's life. Energizes us to suffer longer. And I want to remind you of something. When you give thanks, that doesn't mean that when you start giving thanks, God's going to change all your circumstances, clean up all the mess, make everything right. No. It may be that you'll have to thank Him for years. Listen to that. I know you don't like hearing that. I don't like it either. You may have to thank Him for years before God changes some circumstance. But I'm going to come to it in just a moment about escaping. So hold on, because I want to give you one last reason that I believe is certainly valid here. And that is that thanking Him in the midst of everything transforms my anxiety into peace that passes all understanding. It is amazing. When you begin to thank God, and I'm not here to tell you that I've learned this absolutely and completely, and I always do every single one of these because I had to begin to learn it in my own failure. Complaining, arguing with God, angry with Him because He didn't change my circumstances. And out of desperation, I began to thank Him. But as I began to thank Him, I began to learn some things. And I simply learned this for sure, that when you and I begin to thank Him, when we don't feel it, it transforms my anxiety into peace. Now, is this not what He said in Philippians chapter 4? Don't be anxious about anything. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? Well, Lord, surely You could say that. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all human understanding will guard and keep your hearts through Christ Jesus our Lord. He never said He will change your circumstances. That doesn't mean He won't, because oftentimes He will. Now, we said the primary reason that He said in everything give thanks is because of the overwhelming, powerful impact it makes upon every area of your life. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what I want is escape. I'm not sure I want to learn all these lessons you're talking about. Man, I want relief and release and escape. Well, I want you to listen very carefully. Most of the time, I won't say 100% of the time, most of the time, when you and I find a way to escape our hurt, our suffering, our heartache, and we choose that form of escape, most of the time, we make a wrong decision. Because, first of all, our objective is very self-centered. I want out of this. Has it ever dawned on you that it may be that God doesn't want you out of it? You say, but how could God be a loving God and allow me to go through this? Just because He loves you. And because in His omniscience, He knows at this moment of your life, this is best. Not necessarily easy, comfortable, convenient, pleasing, enjoyable, but best. When you and I look for a quick way out, most of the time, we're going to make a mistake. Now think about this. An all-loving, all-knowing God, all-powerful God said, in everything, give thanks. This is God's will concerning you. And when He said in everything, that's what He meant. Because He knew the impact that would make in your life. He knew the awesome power that would release in and through your life. He knew the impact that would make upon others through your life. And He knew the power that would be released within you to make it possible for you to survive any and every circumstance of life. He knew the awesome lessons He would be able to teach you as you walk through that. But to escape is to be a loser, is to cheat yourself out of what God wants to do in your life. And it is to cheat others out of the possibility of you becoming a blessing and a vessel through whom God may bless and encourage them. You see, the escape route is not God's way. That's the world's way. That's man's way. And I know that you may be walking through something today that is very, very painful for you. And you say, you mean to tell me that I'm to thank God in this? What is your other alternative? Complain, argue with God, get angry, bitter, resentful, hostile, and look for an escape. You don't like your marriage, So you've decided you don't want to be married to her anymore, and you're going to find you somebody else. You don't like your financial condition, so you want to take a job doing something that you know is purely dishonest. But it'll make you a better living. God's told you not to marry that person. You decide you've got needs, you're going to do it anyway. You're going to escape this single life. It doesn't make any difference what it is. If you're looking for an escape, you're asking for trouble. Begin to thank God where you are, in the circumstances you find yourself, and begin to claim by faith, and begin to practice this verse of Scripture, based on this simple reason of the impact it'll make upon your life. And then as you go down those 10 simple reasons for doing so, God, listen to me carefully, God may never change his circumstances, but he may change them quickly. But you're either going to go through it one of two ways. You're going to come out a winner, or you're going to go down a loser. What I've tried to do is simply to tell you, share with you, how to face whatever you face and come out a winner every single time. It is a choice we make. Father, we love you. We praise you for your patience and understanding and how marvelously you have provided for us in our most painful, disappointing, hurtful, failing moments. I want to ask you right now for those who find themselves in one of these difficulties. Oh, dear God, give them the courage to make a wise choice, not to look for a way out, but to look for a way through, giving you thanks, praising you as a choice, not as a feeling. And Lord, you may quickly allow feelings to follow their thanksgiving. Praise and adoration of you may come from their lips continuously. But on the other hand, it may be tough all the way. But according to your precious revelation that knows no error, because you're a faithful, loving God who loves us unconditionally, you will see us through triumphantly. We will come through better than when we began, more Christ-like in our character, with a stronger witness for our Savior, with a deeper understanding of your ways, with a greater love and adoration for you, a greater respect for your awesome power, and a greater anticipation of meeting you face to face in glory when you call us home. Father, I pray for those who are lost today, who've never trusted Jesus as their Savior. What an empty, void, meaningless, purposeless life that faces hardship, difficulty, triumph, suffering and pain, with no real hope. Would you grant them the courage to get on their knees and simply cry out this prayer, Heavenly Father, I've sinned against you. I've wanted it my way. I humble myself before you and confess that I am dependent upon you. I do believe that Jesus Christ died at Calvary for my sins. I confess them to you now. I ask you to forgive me. I surrender my life to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Then, Father, I pray for all the saints, all your children, who are hurting and who want out. Oh, God, grant them the courage to start thanking you and watch what you do when they obey you, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.